The Healthy Alabama podcast is sponsored by Enroll Alabama, a program that enrolls Alabamians in the health insurance marketplace.
Enroll Alabama is a project of AIDS Alabama. For more information, visit the website AIDSAlabama.org. Welcome to the Healthy Alabama podcast, sponsored by Enroll Alabama, a project of AIDS Alabama. I'm David Person, host and producer. This podcast is produced in partnership with our good friends at WJOU, Oakwood University Radio, Praise 90.1 FM in Huntsville, Alabama. Coming up, my conversation with Colleen Morgan, a conservative Christian, military veteran, and a transgendered woman, meaning she was born a male but now lives as a female. And she's doing that right here in Alabama, along with an estimated 70,000 plus other transgendered persons. That's coming up. But first, as some of my regular listeners may know, one of my favorite responsibilities as the host of this podcast is to travel to some of the major cities across the nation and do what I call a vegan tour, where I check out their vegan restaurants. And quite frankly, if there are other vegan-oriented businesses in the city, I try to get to those too. I did a tour of some of the best ones in Los Angeles back in November of 2018. We posted those photos on our Healthy Alabama podcast Facebook page. But recently, very recently, I visited in St. Louis, Missouri, a restaurant called Treehouse, a great vegan spot there. And I was able actually to take some time and talk with the owner, Bay Tran, the owner of Treehouse.
My name is Bay Tran, and I'm the proprietor at Treehouse Vegetarian Restaurant in St. Louis. I'm an avid believer of and supporter of a plant-based diet for many reasons, many levels and many reasons, socially, environmentally, support for the sentient beings on the earth, our planet. And every reason's a good reason in my book. It's a ripple effect. And also, I love to cook, and that's been a lifelong passion of mine. And I also love to eat, so and share meals and discuss what we're eating and why, and the flavors, the textures. It's my way of communicating and being creative, but also sharing myself with others.
Man, I had an awesome meal there at Treehouse, and it was a privilege to be able to talk to the owner, Bay Tran, this great vegan restaurant in St. Louis. Not only was the food great, the decor was really classy, really nice ambiance there. Look, I'm telling all you meat eaters, I know it may not seem like it to you, but I'm telling you, I promise you, going vegan is the healthy way to go, and it's easier than ever before. So don't be scared. Come on over to the vegan side and visit with us for a little while. You might just want to stay. I dare you. Try it. Okay, I'm off my vegan soapbox and on now to my conversation with Colleen Morgan, military veteran, conservative Christian, and transgendered woman living in Alabama. You are a transgendered woman. Let's start by explaining what that really means.
Well, that means I was born as a male. You know, when I was born, the doctor held me up, looked between my legs, and said, "It's a boy." And I grew up as a boy.
So you grew up as a boy. When did you, at what point in your life did you begin to feel displaced in terms of your gender?
I became aware that I wasn't like the other boys probably at around the age of 5, maybe 6, certainly by age 7. I didn't know what it was. I just knew that I didn't like doing the things they did. I have a sister who's not quite 2 years younger than me, and I was always envious because I couldn't do the things she was doing. And then when I was about 10 or 11, I came across a tabloid that had a sensational article about someone named Christine Jorgensen, who was the first transsexual in the United States back in the 50s.
And that's what we used to call transgendered people. We used to call them transsexuals. Right?
Well, the distinction would be transsexual is someone who goes through gender confirmation surgery.
Okay, who goes the full...
Right.
Has the complete transition.
Yes.
Okay. So a transgendered person may or may not have the complete transition.
Correct.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted.
So I saw this article, and I read it and read it and reread it, and it just struck me, this is me. This is what I am.
Now, how old were you again?
I'm thinking 10 or 11.
10 or 11 years old.
Yes.
At 10 or 11, you believed as a boy that you actually, anatomically, you understood you were a boy, but you believed that in terms of your sense of self and your worldview or the way you see the world, that you're a girl.
Yeah, I believed I should have been born female.
This is a good time to inject something that's going to be an interesting curveball for a lot of folks. You told me just a few minutes before we started recording that you are a conservative Christian.
Oh, that's correct, yes.
So tell me about your religious background.
When I was young, I think as far back as age six or seven, certainly, my parents didn't go to church at the time, but I did. And I would go by myself, even take my little sister, and we would walk to church together. I don't know. Looking back, I think God drew me to himself. And I attended various churches because we moved around a lot. And then I was in the military. I was in the Army, and I was baptized when I was over in Germany.
I should say thank you for your service. I didn't realize you were a military veteran. Thank you for your service.
You're welcome. Yeah. It's my pleasure.
So you are... You know, you're going to be a conundrum for a lot of people.
I am.
You're a military veteran. You describe yourself as a conservative Christian.
Yes.
But you're also a transgendered person.
Yeah.
Now, do you, I'll just say transgendered woman. I don't need to say transgendered person. You're a transgendered woman. So are you, you know, you just explained to us the distinction between transsexual and transgendered.
Yes.
Have you made the full transition? Or is that something that you talk about? I mean, if you don't want to talk about it, that's okay.
The answer is no.
Okay. Okay.
I've transitioned socially over a year ago.
Okay.
Changed my name legally.
Okay. So so this is very recent for you.
A year ago, yeah.
Okay. So,
well, 2 years ago is when it began.
Okay. Would you mind sharing with me your age? Or your age range, or just the range. You know, I don't know.
I'm 69.
Wow. I never would have thought that.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're a very young looking 69.
Thank you.
So you are 69.
Yes.
You began the transitioning process at 67.
Yes.
But you have felt this way for 57 years?
Well,
prior to making the transition?
It's actually the second time I started transitioning. The first time was back in my mid-30s, 1986, and I stopped.
You tried, and you stopped.
I chose not to continue.
Why did you choose not to continue?
I was married. I was in my second marriage. I had a child from the first. I had a child in my second marriage. I was very involved in my church in Michigan, and I felt I needed to keep to the commitments I made to my wife. And so I stopped going to a therapist before I started hormone therapy. Went to see a Christian psychologist for well over 5 years and focused on being the best husband and dad that I could be.
So did you talk to your wife about
your... Oh, yes.
So your wife was fully aware?
My wife, my extended family, brother, sister, parents, mm-hmm. They all knew.
Did she discourage you?
Well, she decided she wanted out of the marriage.
Okay.
A few years later, and we divorced in 1993.
Okay.
But my commitment then was I was going to see my two daughters till they got out of high school and were out on their own, which that happened in 2006.
How did your daughters feel about it?
They didn't know.
Oh, they didn't know.
Not well. Let me preface that by saying that in February of 2017, when I realized that I was going to go through this transition, I talked first with my three children. It turns out they've known for like 17 years, but I didn't know they knew. Mm-hmm. about this. My older daughter had figured it out and told the other two.
Okay.
So kids are a lot smarter than you think they are.
Right, right, right. So what was their reaction?
Well, my youngest daughter is a conservative Christian like me. She sent me a letter a year ago, almost a year ago, saying she didn't want anything more to do with me. My other two kids, neither one of them are going involved in the church. They're both very accepting.
Is that a bit ironic to you that your two children who are not practicing Christians are accepting of you, but your Christian daughter is not?
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard too because she and I have a very close relationship, or had a very close relationship. My hope is that we'll have reconciliation.
So she was okay with your relationship up until you transitioned?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm looking at a website here. I don't know how accurate this is or not, but but I suspect it's probably fairly accurate because it's from UCLA's Williams Institute. And according to this website, there are 78,000 transgendered persons in the state of Alabama. Does that sound right to you?
It's possible.
You think that's possible?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what this website is saying. And another bit of news that I think is significant and that we have to factor into our conversation today is that an Alabama woman, transgendered woman.
Yes.
Dana Martin is the first transgendered person known to have been murdered in this year.
That's correct, yeah. Down in Birmingham, I think it was.
It was either Birmingham or near Montgomery.
Yeah. Right?
But it was somewhere in the vicinity. And let's see here. I'll tell you in a second. Near Montgomery is what it says. Dana Martin was a resident of Hope Hull, Alabama. Oh, I don't know where that is. But anyway, apparently it's near Montgomery. And transgendered person murdered. And I believe that it is thought that police are investigating her death as a homicide, and I'm assuming, and I could be wrong, but I'm assuming that it is believed that it is because she's a transgendered or was a transgendered person, perhaps that she was, or that something, that her murder was connected to her being a transgendered person.
Mm-hmm. It's not surprising.
Because we hear about transgendered people being physically attacked and subject to these to discrimination.
Yes.
Now there are a lot of people who feel that you know, I think what used to be said about people who are gay, what used to be said is, well, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And I know you've been as a conservative Christian, you've been in the conservative Christian circles. I'm sure you've heard that quite a bit.
Oh, yes.
So what is your rationale as a conservative Christian? What is your rationale in going through, at least to some degree, going through with transitioning from being a man to being a woman?
What I would hear most of all is either a reference to one scripture verse, Deuteronomy 22:5, mm-hmm. which talks about a man not wearing the clothes of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only reference, by the way, in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is when people will say, oh, God created them male and female, end of story. And my response is, no, it's not the end of the story, because then sin entered the world. And that, I believe, is what we're witnessing here, is that there is a corruption in the creation, that this is not a mental condition. This is a physical condition. In my case, probably caused by my mother taking a drug called diethyl stilbestrol while she was pregnant with me.
Mm. And what do you think that drug did to you?
Well, you have to understand fetal development, and every child that's conceived develops as a female. As a female child, until if it's a genetic chromosomal male, then there is a wash of testosterone that occurs twice during development, once at about 6 weeks of gestation and once again at about 12 to 16 weeks. If that doesn't occur or something blocks it, then the child doesn't develop completely as a male. So at about 6 weeks, there's a wash, and that's when the body becomes a male body. The later wash of testosterone that occurs later in pregnancy, 12, 16 weeks, is when the brain becomes masculinized. And if women were given this drug, it blocks testosterone in the woman's body and in the fetus. So that brain never becomes a male brain, even though the body's male.
So you believe that, now I'm going to phrase it another way and tell me if this is saying the same thing or something different. It sounds as though you believe hormonally you're a woman, even though anatomically you're a man.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. In fact, there's a condition called complete androgen insensitivity syndrome, where the male, developing male body never processes testosterone at all. And those children, when they're born, they're girls. They have girl genitalia, and it's only in their mid-teens, usually, when they never start their period, and they go to a doctor and find out, well, that's because you're genetically a male, you don't have a uterus, yes, you have a vagina, but you don't have ovaries, you've got undescended testes, yet they've developed as a normal girl.
Right. I think there are a lot of people who may not even be aware of the scientific reality of what we now call intersex people.
Yeah, that's what that is,
and intersex. That's what you're talking
yes.
about.
Yes, you know, intersex.
When I was a child, we used the term hermaphrodite to
right.
describe persons who were born with male and female genitalia.
Yes.
And then, of course, as time passed, the definition and the explanation was expanded to include, you know, what you're talking about, this sort of incongruity between hormones and anatomy and so forth. Well, let's linger a little bit on some of the religious considerations here. So one question that I'm sure people would have, and again, if there's anything that I ask you that is off limits, you know, just let me know. I don't want to talk about that,
or
I'm not comfortable talking about that. So you're transitioning. You're a conservative Christian,
yes,
but you've transitioned culturally and in terms of appearance. You've transitioned from being a man to being a woman.
Yes.
Are you now seeking to have relationships with men?
No.
Okay. Are you seeking to have relationships with women?
This isn't about sexual orientation. This is about identity.
Okay. That is a key, and I think you understand why I asked, because that, you know, in the religious context, a lot of this is going to center around just that.
It's one of the first things my younger daughter asked me, whether or not I was attracted to men. I said, no. I mean, I have 3 children and 5 grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a genetic male.
So you mentioned 2 terms that I think are essential to this conversation, sexual orientation and sexual identity. Gender identity. Gender identity and sexual orientation.
Yes.
Okay. So why don't you sort of, in your own words, why don't you sort of delineate those two?
I really can. Well, it's been said by others that sexual orientation is who you sleep with. Gender identity is who you sleep as.
Okay. I think that's a good way to put it. I think that's a really good, succinct way to put it. Sexual orientation is who you sleep with. Sexual identity or gender identity is who you sleep as.
Yes.
Okay. So at this particular juncture, just again, I'm just dealing with sort of some of the religious concerns about this topic. You know, putting aside for a minute the whole idea that, you know, the whole, well, you're anatomically a man, so you should dress like a man. We're going to put that aside for a minute. Just want to resolve the sexual orientation part. So you're not looking to have relationships with men or women. You're not looking to have any relationships at all. You've just sort of resigned yourself to a life of no more relationships.
Actually, I pretty much resolved myself to that over 25 years ago when I was divorced the second time. And, you know, in my conversations with God, if I said, if it's your will that I'm going to be celibate the rest of my life, I'm okay with that.
So you have not been in a relationship for over 25 years, is what you're saying.
You mean sexual relationship?
Right.
Yes, that's
okay.
Correct.
Okay. All right, so that sort of, I guess, would answer those concerns. Now let's deal with the other. So you're a conservative Christian. You just cited the Bible scripture that says, you know, that people have used in conversation with you. So how do you process that as a conservative Christian but a transgendered woman?
So as a Christian, I never quote. I did quote recently, just a few minutes ago. But I never read a Bible verse because that's taken it out of context. You have to put it in context. And in this case, read the entire chapter of Deuteronomy 22 and ask, are we bound by all of those laws? And what is the context of them? Are we supposed to put those rails up on our roof so people don't fall off? If so, there's a lot of Christians who are sinning by not doing that. No, we're not bound by those Mosaic laws.
Okay.
But you have to also look at the verse itself, that particular one in Deuteronomy 5.
Mm-hmm.
And when it talks about the man, the Hebrew word there is strong man or warrior. And they're talking about a warrior. And in that culture, also at that time, is men and women were segregated. And sometimes men would put on women's clothes in the pagan culture so they could go have illicit relations with the women, sneak into the women's quarters.
So you're saying you believe there is a way to interpret and apply those texts that has nothing to do with the objections that modern Christians would have to you transitioning?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe that.
And there's some New Testament, and this is not a Bible study. This is a health podcast. But, I mean, because you said you were a conservative Christian, I think we kind of have to deal with this to some degree. But there are some people who would cite New Testament passages also to suggest that what you're doing is immoral or inappropriate. I think there's some passages in some of Paul's writings that talk about, you know, gender roles, or certainly seem to be talking about gender roles and not just sexual orientation, but also gender roles. But I guess your answer would be the same or similar?
Most of what Paul talks about is sexual relations between same-sex partners.
Mm-hmm. So, As a conservative Christian who is a transgendered woman, how do you feel about sexual relations between people of the same sex?
I really don't. I can't answer it clearly. It's confusing.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have a strong, even though you describe yourself as a conservative Christian, you don't have a strong sort of bias, as many conservative Christians do,
yes,
against same-sex relationships, same-sex marriage, that sort of thing?
I think with the way, as I mentioned that drug earlier, the abbreviation for it is DES, and the way it has distorted the development in the womb, it's possible it distorts sexual orientation as well. Certainly there are drugs where there are studies done that seem to show if a mother takes this drug during pregnancy, the child has same-sex attractions.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the conditions today may be different than they were back then, but I don't know that you can say the prohibitions go away. Mm-hmm. So I can't give you a real clear answer on interpreting it all.
Sure.
And I'm not a theologian.
Right, and neither am I. Let's just deal with the day-to-day.
Okay.
What's it like living in Alabama as a transgendered woman? What's your experience?
I don't feel any different about myself. That's very strange, actually.
It's strange, that you don't feel anything?
No, it's that I don't... People often say, well, what's it feel like to be a woman? Mm-hmm. I can't tell you. I can only tell you what I feel like.
So for you, you're saying you feel this is normalcy for you to be to live as a woman, is what you're saying.
Yeah, in everyday life, I'm treated as a woman. I had an encounter last night at a business networking event where I ran into somebody who I've known over the years. I haven't seen her in a couple of years, and I keep forgetting that people don't often recognize me. So right. I said, hi, Kelly. And she looked at me and said, you know, you look familiar, but I'm not sure where we might have met. And we talked for a few minutes, and I'm debating in my head whether or not I should say anything. And finally I said, you know, hey, do you remember? And I gave her my birth name. And she says, oh, yeah. And I said, yeah, well, I used to be him. And she... Wow. We had a little short conversation, and I answered some of her questions.
Sure.
But I run into that all the time because I've been doing business networking in Huntsville for 10 years. And a lot of people I know and that know me, and they don't recognize me today. Mm-hmm. I just get treated like any other woman, which is good and bad.
Well, okay, you say it's good. I think I know why you're saying it's good, because you want to be treated as a woman. That's
yes.
why you
yes.
transitioned. But you also said it's bad. Why
yeah.
is it bad?
So I noticed after I began to fully transition a year ago in January that people, men and women that I had known for years, were treating me differently. It's like I had somehow become stupid and less competent.
Mm.
And, of course, other women tell me, you know, welcome to our world.
Oh, okay. So some sexism there.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, people, especially men, began to treat me more tenderly, too, which was nice, you know. Mm. Opening doors and being polite. That was nice.
Chivalry.
Yeah,
being on
yeah.
the other side of chivalry.
Yeah, this is Alabama, so there's still
right.
some chivalry.
Yeah, 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 exactly. To the person who, even after everything you've described about your childhood feelings and your theory about the, and I say theory, you know, it's more than that. I mean,
there's some evidence.
Yeah,
it's not clear cut yet.
Right. But the scientific explanation you gave, for perhaps what explains who you are. What do you say to the person who still just says, okay, all of that being said, why can't you just suck it up and just be a man? why do you have to go and disrupt the social order? Why do you have to go and make, if we're talking about religion, why do you have to go and sort of complicate, you know, or disrupt or even disregard the faith that you say you believe? Why can't you just suck it up and be a man? What would you say to that person?
That's a great question, and I have had that question mm-hmm. given to me, mm-hmm. particularly by my younger daughter, the one who has rejected me. Mm-hmm. And I would answer it this way, is that I did that, tried that for decades. And I realized in early the beginning of 2017. Let me just go back a little bit, that at beginning back when I, in the late 80s, when I started counseling with a Christian counselor, I was on antidepressants and anxiety medication for well over 20 years. And in 2012, I got off that stuff, and I'm so glad I did. And I'll never go on it again. Well, at the beginning of 2017, I reached what I see as a tipping point. I didn't understand it then, but I do better now. I saw three paths ahead of me. If I stayed living the way I was, I expected I'd be dead within a year or two.
Meaning suicide?
Not, I call it passive suicide. I just didn't care whether I lived or died. I was neglecting myself. Hmm. I really, if I could have gone to sleep and not woken up, I would have been, that would have been satisfying to me. And the other two paths were take medication to anesthetize myself for the rest of my life, which I was unwilling, I will not do. And then the other would be to transition. That's where I'm at. So I didn't see it as much of a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had other transgender people tell me exactly that, those same three alternatives.
Why do you think it is so important for you to announce to the world or pronounce to the world that you are a woman, even though anatomically you're not, and you were born a male? What is so compelling about that idea of I need people to see me as this, even though I wasn't born, you know, this way, as you have already said?
It's not a matter whether people see me or not. It's a matter of who I am. And I'm not even sure how to express the thoughts about it.
So you're not, okay, well, I'll jump in and say this just to help, you know, see if I can help you sort of flesh it out for the sake of our listeners. So you're saying basically you're not doing it because of our opinions or our, you know, you're not doing it because of us. You're doing it because of you, because it's
yes.
Something that if you're going to be conscious and exist, you feel like there's only one way for you to be conscious and exist, dare I say, in a healthy way, and that's to live life as a woman. That's what you're saying.
Yes. And going back to that suicide, there are many times I've thought about suicide. And I can't, because I'm a Christian and my life doesn't belong to me.
So if your life doesn't belong to you, and if God allowed you to be born a man, why not just keep it like that?
As I said, I was on the road to dying. I didn't care whether I lived or died.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a statistic. There was a study done in 2015 of thousands of transgender people, and they found that 41% had attempted suicide.
That's an incredible statistic.
41%. It's about 10 times the rate of the general population, where it's about 4%.
Wow. Wow.
So the tension that exists inside is very difficult to contend with.
And I think, and I'll just say, inserting myself into this for a minute, you know, I'm a straight heterosexual, to use the nomenclature, cisgender
yes.
man. You know, in other words, I was born a man and I live as a man. It's hard for me to relate to the tension that you're describing. In fact, I can't relate to the tension you're describing.
Yeah, you mentioned before about the LGBT community mm-hmm. understanding this. That's not true. Most gay people, they can't wrap their heads around this either.
I'm glad you said that, because the next thing I was going to say is I was having lunch about a year or so ago with a childhood friend of mine
uh-huh.
who had come out to me as gay.
Yes.
And so he and I were talking, and this was right after he'd come out to me, and I said, yeah, well, I kind of thought that you were gay when we were children, so that's not really a big surprise. So we're continuing to talk, and then I said to him, and I'm just being transparent here, I said to him, you know, this transgender thing, it's something that I don't really understand. I mean, I definitely believe, and I wholeheartedly believe, that everyone in this country, I don't care how you identify, in terms of gender or sexual orientation or religion or anything, everyone deserves the same rights. Everyone deserves equal protection under the law. Everyone deserves to be treated and to have the same rights and the same access to everything in this society. But I have to say, I don't understand the transgender thing. I just don't understand it. And he said to me, well, I'm a gay man and I don't understand it either.
Right.
That's exactly what he said to me.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. I think for many of us, we can't relate to, for those of us who don't have the circumstances that you had, we don't understand this internal battle that you've described to us today. And certainly as a Christian, as I am, and as a compassionate human being, as I try to be, it breaks my heart to hear you say that you felt as though you only had three options, and one of those options was death.
Yeah.
In order for you to be at peace. As a fellow human being and a fellow Christian, I hear that and I think, well, my God, that's no way to live.
Yeah. Despite what you read in the press and you hear talking heads say in different circles, especially conservative Christian talk shows, we don't choose this. And I wouldn't wish this condition on anyone. And nobody I know is really happy about being transgender. They simply know that they are. And once they come to that realization, then it's, what do I do about it?
Mm. Well, before we get out of here, a couple of other quick questions. Again, answer, don't answer.
Sure.
I respect your choice. And for the record, I believe you have every right as a citizen of this great country to pursue happiness as you see fit. And if this is, you know, if this is how you believe you are going to be happiest as a citizen of this country who believes in the constitutional values that our founding fathers established,
yes,
I believe you have the right to pursue happiness as you see fit.
I am a constitutional conservative as well.
Are you? And yes. I'm not, but we agree on that at least. Well, I'm not a constitutional conservative, but I agree with you on that. So let me ask you a couple of quick questions then before we get out of here, Colleen. One is, you're a conservative Christian. Do you go to church? And does your church family know that you are transgendered?
I counseled with my daughter's pastor for a couple of months, maybe 5 or 6 months. He kept telling me I need to repent that I'm sinning. I said, I can't do that. It's not a matter of sin. And I can't lie to God and say I repent from something that is inherent in me. Mm-hmm. I can't change it.
Mm-hmm.
So that went nowhere, unfortunately.
But do you go to church somewhere?
I do. And in fact, I was a member for quite a number of years of a conservative congregation in this area. I was the head elder for 5 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Until I started going to my daughter's church. Mm-hmm. Just to be closer to her and her family. I had to leave that denomination. The two pastors there felt that if I had tried to transition while there, they'd probably lose half their congregation.
Wow.
And I couldn't see myself being responsible for that kind of disruption in a congregation.
So do you go to church anyway?
I do. I go to a church
You don't have to name it. I'm not asking you to name it, but just, yes. But you do go to church somewhere.
Yes, where I had been a member over 10 years ago, and the pastor knows, and a handful of people in the congregation know my background.
Is it a conservative church?
The congregation is, the denomination is not.
Wait a minute. The congregation is conservative, but yes. The denomination is not a conservative denomination?
That's correct.
Well, can you share the denomination? You don't have to share the congregation.
Yes, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.
Oh, why do you say they're not conservative?
They're not.
What does that mean?
Well, they believe in abortion, which I do not.
When you say they believe in abortion, yes. You mean they believe that women have the right to an abortion. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, they support a woman's right to choose.
Okay, they support Roe v. Wade. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay, so what is that the only thing that...
Well, I actually left that denomination in 2009 when they approved actively homosexual clergy.
Okay. But now you're back at that church.
I am, or
back in that denomination.
At that congregation.
At that specific congregation,
yes.
That's conservative. Okay. All right. Now, the other question I have to ask you, as somebody with a journalism background, practicing journalist for years.
Sure.
Are you ever going to transition completely?
I would like to. It's expensive.
Okay.
I don't know if I can afford it.
Okay.
It's a very expensive procedure. I have an appointment with a physician next week, actually, to discuss that.
So if you can do it, you will.
Absolutely.
But if it's just too prohibitive from a cost standpoint, you won't. But you'll continue to live as you are living.
Yes.
Are you taking hormones or anything?
Yes, I have for the past 2 years.
Okay. So you're taking hormones. You are dressing as a woman. You're living as a woman.
Correct.
But you just haven't. You haven't done the anatomical changes.
No. I usually don't talk about those things, but the answer is no.
Okay. Well, I'm not trying to be invasive. I just want our listeners to really understand
right.
who you are and what your journey is. Because I think that's part of people understanding, you know, whether or not they choose to support what you're doing or not, or agree or not.
Yeah.
I think it's important for people to just understand. And the symposium next month, the symposium we're going to do next month, again, that's the purpose of this breakout session. It's to, it's not to say, hey, we're waving a flag for Colleen, or, oh, we're protesting Colleen. No. The goal is to hopefully help people to understand
yeah.
Colleen's journey and the journey of the other transgendered persons who are going to be on the panel.
My challenge when I started to transition was that I had been very active in the local business community, and how was I going to manage that transition? Could I even do it? Because if I had my druthers, I would just quietly do it and no one would know. I don't want to be in this anybody's spotlight. I just want to live a peaceful life.
I think that's a good place to end this, Colleen. I want to thank you for joining us on the Healthy Alabama podcast today. I really want to thank you for your transparency, your candidness. I think people that want to take the time to try to understand or try to, you know, even if in the end they're going to disagree, which is fine. I think you've given them an abundance of information to consider, and they can then go and take it and do whatever they want with it. So thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. And one of my goals in doing things like this is to make people aware and educate them.
Beautiful. Well, I think you've done very well with that today. So thank you.
You're welcome.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Colleen Morgan as much as I enjoyed interviewing her. The Healthy Alabama podcast is produced in partnership with WJOU and sponsored by Enroll Alabama, a project of AIDS Alabama.
I'm David Person, host and producer. Our theme music was produced by my man DJ Bailey, setting that mixing board on fire as he drops the beats. Thanks, DJ. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play, or just keep streaming us at WJOU.org. And please, like our Facebook page. We're working on putting extra content there that will complement the podcast. Again, I'm David Person. Until next time, be healthy.